welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. Today, I have two guests with excellent backgrounds and interesting topics, but because of the length of the interviews, I will limit the introductions for each one. I ask that you go to my website, holistichealthshow.com, to learn more about each. My first guest, Dr. Joseph Cardello, PhD, a best-selling author in the field of health, mind, body medicine, and psychology. His books have been translated into 10 foreign languages. He is a research psychologist and specializes in attention training and creative thinking. He holds a doctorate in holistic psychology and in mind-body medicine and is a regular contributor to Psychology Today and the Huffington Post. In addition, he co-writes books for Harvard Health Publications and has featured articles in several major publications. More information is available at www.josephcardello.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Cardello, and I look forward to hearing about the fifth season. Get in touch with nature. Why have the poets and artists been sending us a similar message throughout history?
Well, first, thanks for having me. You know, the whole reference to art and poetry, I think, is great in regard to a discussion on nature, because it seems that historically people have viewed nature as restorative throughout history.
And how is your message different?
Well, what I try to bring to the project of the five seasons is my lens is a combination of both science and philosophy. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to get a little past the artistic slant by bringing in some science and philosophy on how it is that we might be able to connect with nature in a way that would make us healthier and happier and more harmonious with each other.
And what can your book tell us about the seasons that we don't already know?
Well, my focus on this has been a combination of both Eastern and Western psychology and also traditional Chinese medicine. And in traditional Chinese medicine, the five seasons can be seen as sort of orbiting in a circular fashion. So if at 9 o'clock we put spring and we kind of follow the circle around to the right, if at 9 o'clock we put spring, then spring would be a rising energy. And it is the energy for seeding new ideas. It's the energy for new beginnings. And it's a very high torque energy. And then summer would be at the very top, at the 12 o'clock, high noon position. And summer would be the peak of rising energy, and it's the energy that's necessary for growing things. And then the energy, if you're following the circle around from 12 noon to 3 o'clock, at about the 3 o'clock position, you'd put autumn. And autumn is the beginning of the energy cycle's downward movement, or it's the waning energy of nature. And autumn is that energy that we need to gather those things that have been grown that are good for us. Not everything that's grown is good for us, and so the autumn energy or that waning energy is a time to take a good look at what's been growing in our lives and to decide what's good, what isn't, gather what's good, and to more or less put what isn't so good either on the back burner or get rid of it entirely. And then at 6 o'clock or at rock bottom is the winter cycle or the winter energy, which is at the lowest end of the energy cycle. It would be at the 6 o'clock position. And that's the energy of pure creativity. It's also a great falling energy or dormant energy for slowing things down and getting more introspective. And it's one of the things that we oftentimes miss in that part of the energy cycle is it's a great time to assemble our plan for the next season, which is really spring again. And mm-hmm. so in spring, the cycle starts all over again. But notice those are only four.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The fifth season is in the dead center. So if you've got this circle beginning with spring, moving on to summer, and then waning into autumn, and then winter, it dead center in that circle would be late summer, the season of late summer, which has a little bit of all the seasons in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a little bit of each of those energies in it. And in Western psychology, we would associate that with self-awareness.
Oh.
The center would be the self.
Mm-hmm.
And centering in the Asian traditions is so important. In fact, even the word China means center or middle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's mm-hmm. that's the theory behind it, some of it.
Oh, and how did you come up with the title, The Fifth Season?
Well, in traditional Chinese medicine, there are five universal movements, and so they go from the largest thing that you can imagine, like a universe, to the smallest molecule that you can imagine, and all of those five energy cycles are within all things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when there's an imbalance, there's usually an imbalance because of one of those energy cycles.
Mm-hmm. And who will gain the most from the five seasons?
Oh, I think we all can gain a lot from tuning ourselves to nature's movements, because no matter how we look at it,
mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we're part of nature, and nature is part of us, and so everything that affects nature is also affecting us. And because the seasons are so huge, we can observe very easily how nature's how these energy cycles work through nature, and because they're so big, it's really easy to see how they work within ourselves, too. For example, every day has a sort of spring or beginning energy to it, which
mm-hmm.
is a bursting, rising energy, and every day sort of peaks out, and then there's a gathering of the good that we've accumulated throughout the day and a need to get rid of some of the things that have been dysfunctional, and then there's a need to rest and to be dormant and introspective
mm-hmm.
and figure out what it is we want to do again for the next day. And those same cycles can be even more micro. For example, even during the course of a conversation or an office meeting or anything, really, you know, a night out,
mm-hmm.
those same cycles will appear.
Mm-hmm. It's been years since I thought about biorhythms, but it's sounding a bit like biorhythms, the rhythms that we go through. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's just another example of these same energies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then we all seem to like one season better than another. Like, I like summer. Why is that?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with our own personality and the things that we like to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the things if I like jogging a lot, so I like summer as well
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think that there's a genetic component involved in this too. I think that the genetic component is real. The connection between mother and the offspring is real, and so that comes into play as well. I talk about that actually in my book a lot, the genetic component and some of the benefits that we can glean
mm-hmm.
from that, because some of the things that affected our mothers will also affect us, just like medicines that
mm-hmm.
work well with our mothers, you know, tend to work better with us, and ones that didn't tend to not work so well for us either.
Mm-hmm. Would it be the same with disease processes?
Could be, yes.
The reason I'm saying that is I had lung cancer now it's 39 years ago, but my brother died from lung cancer 2 months ago. He was 91.
Yes.
And
yes.
My mother, she died. Oh, she didn't die from the cancer, but she had cancer of the cervix. But I just thought it was interesting that my brother and I both would have lung cancer.
Yeah, there's a clear genetic component, and the things in the environment actually that soothed our mothers
mm-hmm.
and even our grandmothers. You can follow it right down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Will tend to be soothing for us, and the things that irritated them will also irritate us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sights, sounds, smells, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And there's things we could do with it. That's what I try to get to in my research and in my book are the various things that, you know, knowing something like that, you know, knowing something like that is interesting and in some cases exciting. But what's more exciting for me is sharing the various things that you can do with that
mm-hmm.
knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always like application being a nurse. I mean, theoretical, the conceptual is nice, but then I always say, well, then how can I use this? You know,
Absolutely.
What can I do with it?
Absolutely.
Are there then common factors that drive people out of sync with their seasonal cycles?
Yeah, I think that one of the most common things that drives people out of sync with seasonal energies, the first is that we're not, you know, we're all very busy,
mm-hmm.
and we really need to step back every once in a while and just take a look at the environment, the natural environment, and just observe what it is in the environment that's affecting us and
mm-hmm.
how it's affecting us. So that's one of the first things that drives people out of sync is not seeing how the environment is affecting them. So, for example, you know, where I'm from,
mm-hmm.
around the holiday season in December, you know, everybody is hustling all over
mm-hmm.
the place,
right,
you
right.
know, and fighting for parking spaces,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they're not the happiest, which is kind of funny because, you know, it's a very happy season, but
right.
people are not the happiest. So
right.
there's a certain irony about that. And they're really, you know, they're out of sync with the holidays, but they're also out of sync with the environment that wants to be dormant and slow down.
Mm-hmm.
They're out of sync with that, and they're not paying attention to their natural tendencies, and also their natural tendencies are reflective of what's going on in the environment. The whole environment is shutting down, and everybody is getting busier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that, to me, is the number one thing that drives us out of sync, is not seeing where the environment is at, how it's affecting us, and, you know, where we should be at to get in sync
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I think drives us to imbalances is when we're energized, whether we're calm or whether we are excited, when we're energized, one of the things that I think we could benefit more from is becoming more self-aware,
mm-hmm.
and that's the fifth season. I think we need to be more self-aware,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't matter whether we're excited or calm. You know, what is it that we need to be doing at the moment, and how is this energy either facilitating me or not? Because one of the things I've come to with a discussion of seasonal energies is that the energies themselves are neither good nor bad. They're just energies.
Right.
It's just a quality.
Mm-hmm.
The energy is either robust or it's calm.
Mm-hmm.
So the energy itself isn't good or bad. It's what we do with it
mm-hmm.
and how we respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if I'm in the middle of a summer energy cycle, and it doesn't matter whether it's actually in the middle of the summer or in the middle of my day, and my energy is peaked, but yet I need to be doing some very close analyses. I've got to find a way to calm myself down because
mm-hmm.
that energy is too high for critical analysis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I need to know how to balance that energy, maybe with an autumn or a winter
mm-hmm.
energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean by paying attention to yourself when you're in the middle of that energy. It's kind of like surfboarding, really,
mm-hmm.
because when you're riding the energies of nature, you need to be asking yourself, you know, here's where I am, but where do I need to be? And constantly balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's that self-awareness that'll
mm-hmm.
give you the balance. So those are a couple of the
mm-hmm.
things that people tend to
mm-hmm.
tend to neglect, I think, including
mm-hmm.
myself.
Mm-hmm.
We can't all be mindful all day long.
Right,
it's
right.
hard.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that when people are out Christmas shopping and people are in a rush and all, but on the other hand, we're at the opposite end of that at Christmas time. I found that when I travel, when I go to Syracuse, people are much friendlier on the plane because you don't have anything else to do but to sit there. You're
yeah.
not rushing around trying to get a parking space and trying to, do shopping with all the people around you and all. And
yeah,
so,
we're turning off a lot of those distractions.
Right, right. So have you ever looked at that in your research?
Well, one of the things that I have looked at is to try to find out how to turn off some of those distractions,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
They're a little different for everybody. And you know, one of the things that I've been finding out is that not only are they a little different for everybody, but distractions are different at different times of the day and different moments.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really simple test that I have, and I write about this a lot, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I call it a utility test.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a test. It's a way to test your own mind. And I think your listeners would really enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do, very simply, is to take a walk into a natural environment and
mm-hmm.
pick anything. Pick any object out there, a tree. Or maybe, you know, something else. Maybe it's a bird. But pick an object and focus on it and try to stay focused on it for about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually what will happen very soon, as a matter of fact, and don't worry if it happens right away, because it's a difficult thing to do. What you're going to do is you're going to see how your mind is actually working. And if you pick a natural object like a tree and just look at it, and then as soon as your mind starts to wander,
mm-hmm.
put your attention on what's making it wander.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the common suspects are that you'll hear little voices like yourself talking to yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you'll start going over problems and or whatever, you know, concerns that you have. So you hear that little voice in your head. Another common suspect that'll make your mind wander is it may not be a voice at all. It may just be a feeling or an emotion that's
mm-hmm.
pulling you away from that.
Mm-hmm.
It might just be a memory. All of a sudden, a memory just pops into your mind as you're looking at this tree, and it's pulling you away from paying attention to that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be just an excitement or a depression that you're feeling, and
mm-hmm.
it's pulling you away from that. So those are all internal things. And then the other common suspect is it could be something external. So in your environment, there could be external things that are pulling you away
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from being able to see the tree as it is without all that. And what I ask people to do is to, once they locate what that is, to start shutting it down.
Mm-hmm,
so if it's
mm-hmm.
a little voice, to shut that voice down, just as if you were taking a light switch and putting it in the off position.
Mm-hmm.
Just turn it off, and it won't last for long. It'll come right back.
Right, right.
But
right.
What happens is your mind will get stronger. Every time you do it, you can turn that thing off longer.
Mm-hmm.
And that will give you more presence. And all of a sudden, almost miraculously, you start to feel the excitement of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just being there, you start to feel good. And that brings me back to, you know, that idea of being in a plane where some
mm-hmm.
of those things are just
mm-hmm.
shutting down
mm-hmm.
for you, and you're
mm-hmm.
just right there in the excitement of it all
mm-hmm.
and feeling good. And when we're feeling good, everything tends to be working a little better.
It sounds a lot like the meditation process. When I first started meditating, you know, I was thinking about, well, I had this argument with this person today, and I wasn't very nice, or I've got to do this tomorrow. I'm sitting there trying to meditate. And I think what people do is come back to an affirmation or come back to a mantra or something that tries to refocus them. And then after a while, you reach the point where you just sit. If you do it regularly every day in the same place, etc., you sit, and then you can just pretty much block out all of this extraneous stuff that's coming at you.
Yeah, and once you know what it is in your particular mind that is that extraneous stuff, you can start turning it off more during the day too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
At crucial points, you know, like when we're talking to our partners, or, you know, in my case, all the time when I'm talking to my children,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
I can start to turn off those things that are, you know, making my mind wander.
Mm-hmm.
But it surprises me how quickly our mind starts to break down,
right.
and how it's kind of like It's kind of like, you know, when you're swimming in an ocean or something large, and you're swimming for just a little while, and you go, my God, I'm exhausted already.
Right.
I need to get in better shape, you know. And no matter how good a shape you think you're in, you start to feel that exhaustion and realizing, you know, I could only go a little further, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to turn back. And our mind works the same way. But nature is there. See, once we identify those things in nature that make us feel energized or calm, then we can start to bring those into the meditation when we need them and put our mindset right where we want it to be in a very specific mm-hmm. situation. So if I'm talking to my children and my mind is wandering, I can bring in an image, a natural image, that excites me and also focuses me, and use that as a trigger.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or if I'm going into an office meeting or mm-hmm. what have you, really.
Right. Now, are there additional things that we can do to be better in sync with seasonal energies?
Yeah, I'll give you one of my favorites, and I actually use this with my youngest daughter. I started her with this when she was 2.5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I think the very first thing that we can do that's easy is to just spend some time outdoors and find out what things calm you down, what natural visual things and sounds will calm you down, and scents and so on, and what natural elements will perk you up, will
mm-hmm.
energize you.
Mm-hmm.
Once you know what they are, you can do things with them. For example, I brought my youngest daughter from when she was 2.5 years old for a couple of years. We spent many, many afternoons during the summer alongside a river in the Berkshire Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we would listen to the sounds because she liked those sounds a lot and they would calm her down. And so then what we did is we started to bring in some of the colors that were around that environment and paying attention to those colors that would also have a calming effect on her. And generally
mm-hmm.
they were greens and browns.
Mm-hmm.
And we took pictures of the colors. And then what we did is we took the sound, the water sound, and you could record this yourself, or what I did is I just went to iTunes and
mm-hmm.
downloaded a water
mm-hmm.
sound from there.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is I made a slideshow on her iPod for her. So now she had the pictures with the sound
mm-hmm.
that she had been listening to now for quite a while that was a calming sound for her. And now she's got that for life, really, because she's got that image and ingrained in her brain, not only the image but the sound. And, you know, another thing that we did is we made up stories while we were in that environment. So
mm-hmm.
we use the language center of the brain.
Mm-hmm.
The more different areas of the brain you use, the more you amplify the effect. So in this case, it was a calming effect, and we're working on amplifying it by using the pictures and the stories
mm-hmm.
and all that and committing it to memory. But now she's 7 years old, and she's got that on her iPod, and it will last her for life because
mm-hmm.
she's trained her brain to respond by calming itself down to that sound and that image. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when she's an adult and she walks into an office meeting someday, she'll be able to just play that for 7 to 10 minutes before she goes in,
mm-hmm.
and she'll be calm without any need for drugs
mm-hmm.
or anything else that might be harmful. This is a very natural and simple way.
Right. That's great. Now, Dr. Cadillo, is there anything else you want to say about your book before we look at your book services and how the listeners can reach you?
Just that my whole life's work has really been aimed at the idea that, you know, we are part of nature and nature's part of us, and whatever cycles we see in nature also occur in us. And so what I've tried to do is to come up with some ways to take nature and use it in a way to make ourselves healthier and happier, to affect our minds and bodies in a way that has no side effects.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Then would you tell us about your books and if you have services and products and how the listeners can reach you?
Yes, thanks for asking. My newest book is The Five Seasons, and it examines much of what what we've been talking about today, how to get in touch with each of the seasonal energies and use them for better health. My books prior to that are Your Playlist Can Change Your Life, which examines how music and natural sounds affect the mind and the brain, and how you can use that to affect better health and better attention. My book before that was a title, Can I Have Your Attention? And it's an entire book on focus and attention and natural ways to boost attention. Anybody who is interested in attention deficit disorder might want to take a look at this, because it deals with many different natural ways to approach that issue. And then I have a couple of other books before that, but they're all on my website, and people could look at that. My website is www.josephcardillo.com, and people can correspond with me through that if they have questions, or they can just go and look around on the website.
Well, I thank you very much. It's been interesting. It will be helpful to people that want to get in tune with their seasons and want to stay more calm. I think we need a lot more of that, especially maybe you could send copies to Congress.
Oh, I certainly would like to.
So I thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the Spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary In Her Name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Dr. Scott Denny, has a PhD in electric medical science and also graduated from the New York Chiropractic College. He has been past president of the American Academy of Pain Management and is a founding trustee of the University of Integrative Studies. He is also the former head of acupuncture services at Holy Cross Hospital Feldman Center for Optimum Health and the inventor and developer of DOTA Fusion Therapy, and is an 11-time recipient of the Continuing Education Excellence Award in Pain Management. Dr. Denny has lectured nationally and internationally and has served in multiple positions nationally, has received postgraduate training and certification in acupuncture injection therapy, and currently focuses on acupuncture and oriental medicine in pain management, treating conditions with oriental and integrative medicine, and anti-aging holistic medicine. He is also the developer of the painless acupuncture method. More information is available at www.multicareclinic.org. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Denny, and I look forward to hearing about MLS laser. First, tell us about your training.
Well, my training is actually in several different areas. Initially, I completed my degree in chiropractic medicine in 1984, and I went on for advanced training in acupuncture and oriental medicine, which I completed in 1998. In the middle of that, I completed a PhD in electromedical science. So when I work with patients, it's a little bit different than most practitioners since I wear several different hats. One of my loves is the laser technologies, which we've been using for a number of years. It's just fantastic.
And how long have you been in practice?
I've been in practice now over 27 years.
Great. And with all that education, what kind of treatments are you providing your patients?
Well, that's a great question. We provide a variety of treatments for a multitude of conditions, from the classic patient who comes in for the management or alleviation of pain to the management of chronic illness through natural means. As it relates to the laser, to the MLS laser therapy, we use the MLS laser for treating many different types of nerve, muscle, joint conditions, anything from neuritis to arthritis. We also use it for soft tissue such as muscle sprains and strains, tennis elbow, golfer's elbow. Acute injuries respond very quickly to the MLS laser therapy. We even treat patients with acute shingles with the MLS laser therapy, which is terrific because we can prevent the postherpetic neuralgia very, very effectively.
Does that take away the pain?
Yes. The MLS laser applies two different wavelengths of infrared light, 808 nanometer and 905 nanometer. And the combination of those two in a synchronized manner, which is unique to that laser, provides very efficient pain relief, reduction of inflammation, and reduction of swelling all at the same time. It's the only class 4 laser that provides those elements in a synchronous manner. And one of the side benefits of the MLS laser, because of the synchronized pulse, is it does not generate a thermal effect. So it allows us to apply the therapy to patients that have a variety of conditions where they may have implanted metal devices, such as a patient who may have had screws or cages as a result of a spine surgery, or a patient that may have had recently a knee replacement or a hip replacement. It's perfectly safe to apply the MLS laser therapy to those patients, whereas other class 4 lasers, which do generate a thermal effect, are contraindicated.
MLS laser is not.
Mm-hmm.
So it is quite wonderful to be able to apply a therapy to patients that may otherwise not be eligible for this type of treatment because of the uniqueness of the MLS laser pulse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we treat many patients who come in who have had pain and swelling from a knee replacement, or pain and swelling and inflammation from a hip replacement, and we treat them without any issues whatsoever. It's mm-hmm. really quite wonderful.
Does it mainly reduce pain, or does it have other?
Well, laser energy works by stimulating the mitochondria of the cell, which mm-hmm. is the energy section of mm-hmm. the cell, mm-hmm. which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And the laser pushes that cell using the energy to heal. So not only does it reduce pain, swelling, and inflammation, it will promote the tissue regeneration mm-hmm. in a very rapid manner.
Mm.
That's most easily seen with wounds and things mm-hmm. of that sort, which it's very effective for as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a wound and treat it on a daily basis and have that wound heal in a matter of days,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to something that may take a much longer period of time.
Oh.
So it's actually promoting regeneration of the tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And the tissues that are badly damaged will die off and be replaced by healthy tissue.
Mm-hmm.
There are other effects of the use of laser therapy on the tissues, including increase of circulation,
mm-hmm.
another big area where laser is very effective. The body responds to light much in the same way as a plant responds to the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It just causes it to grow.
Oh.
And it's really a very good analogy
mm-hmm.
because it really is that simple. Many people get hung up on the word laser because our mm-hmm. our imagery of laser is something that cuts through tissue or cuts through the body, or the movie with James Bond where he's strapped to a table and the laser is cutting through the metal table, eventually mm-hmm. will slice James mm-hmm. Bond down the middle. That's not the case with this laser, of
mm-hmm.
course. There's
mm-hmm.
As I said earlier, there's no thermal effect. This is not a cutting laser. And the use of laser is really a means to apply deep penetration of infrared light mm-hmm. into the tissues that would otherwise not be able to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And the photoreceptors on the cells pick up this light, which stimulate the mitochondria to create this cascade of chemical events within the cell
mm-hmm.
to bring about healing of the tissues and regeneration of the tissues.
Mm-hmm. Could this be used in place of knee replacement, similar to the prolotherapy?
Well, that's a very good question. We do have a fair number of patients that have degenerative conditions that
mm-hmm.
would require
mm-hmm.
eventual joint replacement.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had great success in treating those patients. And those patients will oftentimes experience relief of pain, an increase of mobility and function of the area,
mm-hmm.
which in turn would mean that they would be less likely to need
mm-hmm.
a joint replacement. But, you know, remember one other thing. When we apply these therapies to a patient that has a degenerative joint, we're also going to look at the nutritional side of what's going on
mm-hmm.
with that patient.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We want to reduce their overall inflammation in their body. We want to flood them with antioxidants.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get them on high-quality omega-3 fatty acids. So it's more than just the laser, but the laser by itself is super effective in controlling the inflammation related to an arthritic condition.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we do have patients that have been able to avoid surgery by using the MLS laser therapy on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had patients, countless patients, with a variety of different arthritic-type conditions that have experienced tremendous relief, including psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis,
mm-hmm.
degenerative disc disease in the spine, and, of course, osteoarthritis of the mm-hmm. joints as well.
That's great. How long does this take? Do they come back multiple times, or is it one time, or how long does it usually take?
That's an excellent question. If it's an acute injury,
mm-hmm.
such as a sprain or strain, that occurs due to overdoing it in the garden or whatever the case may
mm-hmm.
be,
mm-hmm.
they may only require anywhere from 1 to 3 treatments.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a condition of a more chronic nature, then we usually recommend approximately 10 treatments to get that patient's situation under control and mm-hmm. to provide them with maximal benefit. The light therapies, in general, are best applied on a very frequent basis. It's not at all unusual for us to see the patient as many as 3 or 4 times a week mm-hmm. for the first couple of weeks or so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The body loves the light energy. It accepts it quite readily, and we can provide benefits very quickly. So it's not something that mm-hmm. that can be accomplished for a chronic condition in one visit,
mm-hmm.
but it's very nice to be able to tell a patient that I'll be able to help them within a period of 2 to 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we are successful and they do respond favorably to the therapy,
mm-hmm.
we can then recommend other treatments as an adjunct to further their improvement, such as massage therapy, chiropractic, acupuncture,
mm-hmm.
natural medicine pain injections, things of that sort,
mm-hmm.
and we can also, their nutritional status needs to be dealt with as well, and we can recommend the use of the laser as a tool to manage their condition on an ongoing basis. Since it's perfectly safe, it could be used indefinitely. It's not at all unusual to have a patient with a chronic condition where we've made great gains to come in once or twice a month for a quick laser treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Most laser treatments don't take more than 10 to 20 minutes at
mm-hmm.
most.
I'm happy that you use a holistic approach and also that you include nutrition because it seems so important in almost any disease process.
It is critical. There are two main things that we focus on with patients outside of the actual therapies for the conditions that they present with.
Mm-hmm.
And the first is the level of toxicity of the body. And the second would be the nutritional
mm-hmm.
status of the patient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of course, many patients are on multiple medications. That needs to be taken into consideration, and we need to adjust the treatment protocol to help them with their presenting
mm-hmm.
complaint
mm-hmm.
and to be able to help their overall health by dealing with their nutritional status.
Right. I understood the process with arthritis, but I'm not clear on shingles. Could you tell us a little bit about more about how this works with shingles?
Yes. In fact, in vitro lab studies show that it will actually make the cell walls of the virus explode.
Oh, really?
Patients who come in for shingles will typically have relief within a matter of days.
Mm-hmm.
So what will happen is we will treat those patients on a daily basis, which will usually, for most patients, stop the progression of the shingles in its tracks. In this way, we can give them pain relief, reduce the inflammation related to the shingles,
mm-hmm.
and stop the possibility of the patient from developing postherpetic neuralgia.
Mm-hmm. Now, will it come back, the pain, or will this take care of it?
The shingles themselves?
Right. I know shingles is a recurrent, the pain.
Shingles can be recurring for many patients. Of course, that is more so the case if you don't address the nutritional status of the patient.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
If you're able to get the patient onto a good, healthy lifestyle diet,
mm-hmm.
change the way they eat, which is critical,
mm-hmm.
get them on the proper supplements, antioxidants, herbs to help boost their immune system,
mm-hmm.
then the likelihood of the recurrence is much less.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Will insurance cover this?
That's an interesting question. The truth of the matter is that most insurances do not cover.
Oh.
The FDA has cleared these devices to be used for the treatment of pain and mm-hmm. conditions such as those.
Mm-hmm.
But the insurance companies are notorious for, I like to call it cherry-picking the literature
right.
to prove why they shouldn't have to pay for something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was good enough for the FDA, but it's not good enough for the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So patients will typically pay. An average treatment will run anywhere from $60 to $75.
Oh, no, that's not bad. No.
It's not terribly expensive.
No, I wish we'd get back to where the doctors ran their practice and not the insurance companies and the FDA. But
yeah, It's an unfortunate situation that you and I could probably talk about for hours.
Right.
Because it gets to the root of the underlying problems with our entire healthcare delivery system in
right.
the United States.
Right, definitely.
And the integrative approach to managing patients would save billions.
Right, right.
I'll give you a quick anecdote. I had a patient who came in to see me that for the year prior had suffered from neck, shoulder, and arm pain, and they shipped her off to various specialists,
mm-hmm.
and she went through several rounds of physical therapy, epidural injections, cortisone injections in the local tissues, and so on and so on and so on. Eventually, she sought me out for the laser therapy, and within a matter of weeks, we took her from a pain score of a 10 and brought her down to a 2.
Mm, great.
And looking back and discussing this with the patient, she had seen the amount of money that they spent on
mm-hmm.
her care,
mm-hmm.
which was in the six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to deal with her condition effectively within a matter of weeks for several hundred dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So if we were actually taking care of patients using a more holistic approach, we would save billions.
Right, definitely.
Absolutely change mm-hmm. the landscape of our problems that we're having in healthcare now.
Right, right. Plus, save the patient the wear and tear on their body.
Oh, yeah. It really is amazing when you see how so many different alternative-type therapies have such positive effect, and they're just completely ignored for more high-tech
right.
procedures, which are and they don't work for everybody.
Right.
So, you know, with a country such as ours, I believe we're spending about 20% of our gross domestic product on healthcare and triple the rate of inflation, we have some big problems.
Right.
We should be exploring things such as the MLS laser therapy and other holistic natural alternatives to conventional procedures in a much, much bigger way.
And prevention.
Prevention's the key, and
right.
that always comes back to lifestyle.
Right.
And as I say to patients when they come in, I'll often wave a food plan in front of their face and say,
mm-hmm.
you see this one page? If every patient in this country followed a healthy lifestyle diet, we would save billions and billions of dollars.
Right. Now, I told you I'll be 81 next week. I have no chronic health problems, and I don't take prescribed medications. But I am kind of borderline diabetic. I'm borderline thyroid, etc. My doctor used to check these every 4 months to catch it early if there was any
right.
change. But now my doctor says that I can only come once a year because I'm not ill. And I said, otherwise, it's not health care anymore. It's sick care. And he said, yes. So,
that's incredible.
Right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That is incredible. Well, you and I and the listeners would know we've got it all, it's all backwards.
Definitely, right, right.
And fortunately, you know, programs such as yours and others and the public at large are starting to
Definitely,
become much
right.
more aware.
And I stay healthy because I eat organic food, I exercise every day, I watch what I say, I use affirmations, I take a lot of supplements. If necessary, I consult a medical intuitive. I use everything that's available.
That's fantastic.
And I stay healthy, but I pay out for health care, but I get nothing from that because, you know, I'm healthy, which is fine with me, and I'm glad I have the money that I can pay for the things that will keep me healthy, but I feel sorry for the people that have to fall into the healthcare system that we have.
It is really a problem, and it's not getting any better. We're not doing what needs to be done in order to correct
no.
the underlying mm-hmm. problems that we have in our healthcare delivery system. And using devices such as the MLS laser and things like that and acupuncture and
mm-hmm.
massage
mm-hmm.
therapy and chiropractic medicine and things of that sort
right.
save tremendous dollars, but
right.
the system is not built around those types of services, and unfortunately they are oftentimes discouraged patients are discouraged to seek out those treatments and are forced into more harsh chemical and surgical procedures, which have all kinds of issues associated with them. It's just, it's terrible. It really is.
Right.
You know, as an individual, I can try to help people on a one-on-one basis. But, you know, the global awareness is improving and things are and will continue to change as the years go by. I just hope that our healthcare issues in our country don't completely destroy our country before we can get a handle on them.
Right.
Because if we don't get special interests out of the political arena in pushing an agenda of disease care, then it's going to be extremely difficult to create an integrative model of healthcare which will save billions.
Well, then it goes beyond that because of our polluted food supply.
Yep.
Which makes it more difficult. And now I saw in the news last night that they're talking about making hamburger in the lab.
I saw that as well,
cells.
A Frankenburger. I don't even know why they're doing that.
I don't either, because I don't eat beef, but apparently a lot of people do.
You know, we have adulterated our food supplies. We have these genetically modified foods.
Hormones.
It's a mess. It really is.
Right.
But we have to keep moving forward. We have to keep trying, you know, to do the right thing.
Right. I agree.
And it's a struggle and a battle, and it's there's a lot of education involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I am pleased to see how things are really changing.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they will continue to change in a positive manner at the grassroots level.
Right. Now, is there anything else you'd like to say about the MLS laser therapy?
What I'd like to say is that in all the years that I've been in practice, it is the most impressive tool and the most impressive laser that I've ever used with patients. We have had patients who've been in wheelchairs, who are no longer wheelchair-bound. I've had acute patients come in with muscular tears that were scheduled for surgery. And after a week and a half of treatment, the surgeries have been canceled. That is truly astonishing.
Right.
I have patients with chronic arthritis, which they have been able to reduce or eliminate their medications. Their quality of life has improved. It is an amazing device.
Right.
It's truly an incredible tool to help so many people with a variety of different physical ailments. Nothing like I've ever seen before.
Right.
I would highly encourage the listeners to explore the laser. For more information, they can visit my website, which is davielasertherapy.com. Davie is D-A-V-I-E. Davielasertherapy.com. There's a lot of information there. If anybody has any questions, they can feel free to always give me a call. I'd be more than happy to speak with anyone. And we do run in the local Fort Lauderdale area regular lectures on the procedure and what it's good for, what it's not good for. So we do that on a regular basis. And I always offer a complimentary consultation to anybody that wants to come in and explore it in more detail. So it is really a unique device that is, it's one of the most amazing things I've seen in my entire practice.
Is it available nationally, or is it just in certain areas?
There are units that are out there in a variety of different locations within the country. It was originally introduced in the veterinary world, and then a few years later it was introduced in the human world. There is a website that has a doctor locator. It is called CELasers.com. It's C as in cutting and E as in edge, cutting edge lasers. CELasers.com does have a doctor finder for both humans and veterinary doctors. So people can look up in their local area who's using the equipment. There's also a lot of dentists who are now starting to use this for the management of TMJ issues. And there's a very large number of podiatric physicians who are using it for foot pain. So there's a lot of doctors out there that have the equipment, and there are resources that individuals can look at on the CELasers.com website, or they can come to my website if they want specific information about conditions.
Mm-hmm.
There's all the different types of conditions that we treat are listed there for them to review.
Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much. It's interesting. I had not heard of it before, and I'm always glad to hear of new things that are working and that aren't overly expensive and don't affect the body, like harsh chemicals or invasive things. I'm happy to hear of it. Now, would you give us your website again, Dr. Denny?
Sure. It's DavyLaserTherapy.com.
Great. Good.
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you again.
And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.